I brought up my wife as well. Do you have the picture?
Go ahead. Good morning.
There's the picture. You can talk to family.
It is an honor to be here again. Well, I think my husband came last time. I didn't come. But it is an honor to be here sharing with you and thanking you for the support that this church has been to us for several years now. And it's wonderful how God brought us together, and we're still friends today, and we still get the opportunity to come and share with you all that God is doing around the nations, and how you are a part of that in a special way, in a big way. So this is our family. We have four children, and we got our two girls. The oldest one is here to the right, and it's Catherine and Angelique, and then the twin boys that they used to be when we met they used to be in a little stroller, and their names are Maxwell and Abraham, and our daughter is now 20 and 17, and the twins are 13. So they have traveled, they have gone all around the world with us too, not to every single place, because there are some places that have a higher risk, but they have done a lot with us, and they can tell you all about it, what it is to grow up as a missionary's kid. And it's been a great privilege to serve as a family. But so I will be sharing a little more with you, but just thank you for this invitation and for having us today.
You know, Catapult Missions has gone, like Pastor said, to 21 nations. But sometimes the Lord brings us special opportunities along the way that are very unique that we weren't planning for. And one of those unique opportunities that God's provided is a unique ministry to the Pakistani people. And I wanted my wife to share just a little bit of that, because that's been a ministry that the Lord's allowed her to work with, to minister to, with people that have been persecuted for their Christian faith. And it's been amazing. So I wanted her to share just a little bit of that.
Well, as he told you, our job or our work, our vision and mission in Catapult is to mobilize people, just the people in the church, just like you and me, mobilize it to missions work. And during the time that we were living in Uruguay, mobilizing teams from Latin America into other countries in Latin America and exposing people to opportunities to share the gospel, the Lord opened up a huge blessing, a huge opportunity to minister in Asia, and what we call the 1040 window. Who here knows what 1040 window is? Okay. So 1040 window is a window. It's like a rectangle in the world that covers several nations in the world that are the least rich nations in the world. And those nations are mostly, Buddhist, Hindu, and Islam are the religions that dominate in that region. So that is the least rich area of the world. And for us, it was a dream to be able to minister in those places. So the Lord opened up the opportunity for Catapult to take teams to this part of the world from Latin America, which was an incredible challenge, but an incredible blessing. And during one of our trips to Thailand, Thailand is a Buddhist nation. We had the opportunity, we were going to different, some churches, and we were sharing the gospel through some villages. And in this one church, I remember it was a small church, a small African church in Thailand that we were sharing at that day. And I saw this girl. She was about 13 years old, just like one of you over there. And she was just sitting there with her mom, looked like. And at the end of the service, we asked people to come over and get prayed if they had a request for prayer. So this young girl came, and I noticed that she looked different to everybody else. And in my heart, I felt, I need to pray for her. There is something special about her. So I went and I asked her, what would you like me to pray for? And she said, can you just pray for my dad? And I just prayed for her dad. I didn't have much information then. And at the end of the service, I went back to say hi to her and her mom. And I asked her, so what exactly is happening with your dad? And she said, well, we are Pakistanis. And we had to flee Pakistan because of persecution, because they wanted to kill us when we accepted Jesus and became Christians. So my mom took the three of us, me and my brother and my sister, and we were able to flee Pakistan, and we came here to Thailand. But my dad, they took his documents and they held him back. And we don't know much what happened to him yet. So I was like, oh my gosh, this is a huge prayer request. This is serious. And I was like, yes, I told her, here is my email. Just, I would love, I'll be praying for this. I would love to hear what happens with your dad. And months later, these girls start writing to me, but in the middle of so many messages and people that sometimes I don't know who they are, I just really did not know who this person was, because they don't use their same profile pictures. They don't use their same names. They change their names and everything. They keep everything covered. And then I was like, where have we met? And she said, we met in the church. So I was like, okay, what church? And then she said, you pray for my dad. And I just wanted to tell you that my dad is okay. He is hiding in Saudi Arabia, and we're praying that he will be able to join us. And I was so excited, and we kept in touch back and forth. Well, never I imagined God was opening a door to a ministry to Pakistani youth and families, persecuted Pakistani youth and family, through this 13-year-old. And after that, we continued taking teams from Uruguay and from Latin America into Thailand. We led several underground youth conferences with persecuted Christian young people just like you. And it's a long, much, much, much longer story with so many wonderful things. But I want to speak to the young people today. And I want to tell you, you have a freedom. You have no idea the kind of freedom that you have. And today you have your family. You are not persecuted to death, where you have to basically just leave with your clothes and just go to another country where you don't speak the language, where you cannot go to school, where you cannot just walk in the streets free, where you could be put in jail just because you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. But there are many young people just like you that think that you are so privileged because you have that freedom. And you have a powerful thing. You have freedom, and you have a message, and you have more than you think you have. And my husband is going to share with you an awesome message this morning. So I ask you to listen, because God wants to speak to you, young generation. You have a mission field here, all of us, but you guys have something from God, and you have a commission from God to going into your generation and the younger generations to do amazing things, to be witnesses for Christ. So thank you all.
Amen. Amen. So Catapult Missions is, like Pastor said, when train the willing worker to go into the nations, to the gospel. Jesus said it very simply, follow me. What did the people do? says they dropped their nets and followed him. What do you need to drop? What are you holding on to so tight that it would make you hard to follow Jesus? What are you holding on to so tight that it would be difficult just to obey him if he tells you to do something? And maybe he's already told you. People tell me sometimes, well, if it's God's will, I'll go with you on a trip. I tell them, brother, it's already in the Word. Why do you need to? It's already there, right? God's already spoken. Do we need to pray about everything? Or do we need to know that it's already there, right? Do we need to pray about helping our neighbors? Or do we need to pray about our hearts that are wrong, corrupted? God's already spoken about this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Few, not in the church, outside, in your neighborhood, in your schools, and in the nations. Few. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Maybe the Lord can tell you today, I want you to go on a mission. And then tomorrow, you get a great opportunity. So what would you listen to? Better to serve the Lord now than to get it into the world. It's easier to serve in the world and call it something good, but then you're not doing what God wants you to do. Be a difference maker. I would challenge you that. Do you be a difference maker? As Pastor said, you're going to talk about evangelism come up. Be a difference maker wherever God is calling you to be. Be a difference maker. Step out and be a difference maker. So I have so much to talk about, but I wanted to show this video that we have. This was from our 2020 mission trip right before COVID hit. Matter of fact, we flew in 2 weeks before they shut the borders. So it was literally pretty awesome. But this is our mission trip, kind of what we'll do, just an example. Hope you enjoy it. This was Thailand, Nepal, and what was it? I think it's Thailand and Nepal. Go ahead and play the video. That is a video representing people who had never gone on missions before, representing churches,
organize your business,
jails,
all in one place
for people from all over that we left what we had to share with the people, the truth of the gospel. I want to read to you today. I have my phone for my Bible because I had actually left my Bible recently on a mission trip. So I'd like you to read with me if you can. Revelation 12:1. What's that? That's probably 12:11. Yeah. There we go. So they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for Cornerstone. We thank you, Lord, for each person here. We thank you, Lord, for the word of testimony, God. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of the Lamb, God, that covers each one of us. To go out, Lord God, and to share this love, to overcome, God, each area of our life, God, that you have given us the tools that we need. Ask you, Lord, that you bless each person here, God. You speak to each person here, God. Manifest your presence, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know what I think is important about any message is that it impacts your life. Young people, somebody comes up to you next week and says, how was the sermon a week ago? You tell me good, that means it wasn't that great. Are you listening? You're listening, put your hand up. That's good.
If you say a sermon was good, that's it. That's not much of a change in your life. This message needs to be something that alters your life, that changes the direction, that something happens inside of you to change. The message transforms, the Bible says. It's a transforming word. It's alive. But most people, when we get to Wednesday, we forget the words unless they were impactful to our lives. So I asked you this question. In your life, what do you need to overcome? What do you need to overcome that you can fully obey God with what He's called you to do? What is your testimony? Are you sharing your story? Are you testifying to God's work? So one of the stories that I have to share with you is that whenever I went to Africa many years ago, they have a sickness in Africa, which is malaria. And when we went over there, the pastor said, there's not even a mosquito over here. So I took his word for it, and I went over there, and I didn't see anything. I didn't see any mosquito, nothing. And so I took his word, and I thought he was telling me the truth. So there was no mosquito. Everything was fine. About a year later, we brought a team, and we did some work, and it was a really amazing work that they were seeing how the whites were working with the blacks, and it was very powerful. That the last day, we were at the pastor's house and eating some dinner, and I remember a mosquito bit me right here on the shoulder. And I thought nothing of it, just like a normal mosquito bite me. But this was not anything like a normal mosquito bite. About a week later or so, we were up in Canada, and I started getting a fever and getting really sick. And this is such a sickness that it is terrible. You almost feel like you're drowning from the inside. You have no way to move around. It takes away the oxygen of your blood, and you cannot move around. And this was something that was so strong that could have many millions of people die from this sickness. And I thought to myself, Lord, you're going to have to heal me. You're going to have to heal me right now. I need your strength to heal me. And then not only that, but so I can break free of fear later on. What fear could hold on to this that I would not want to continue what God has called me to do? So the Lord did heal me. Obviously, I'm here. The Lord did heal me, but it was a very, very, very serious thing, very scary. And so the word that I want to speak to you today is that the Lord has a message that wants to. Says that you will overcome. What are the trials that you face? What are the trials that you are facing today? What is on your prayer list? For some people, they don't know it, but it's to hear the message of Jesus. It's to hear the message of hope. It's to hear the message of salvation. I came up to a guy, we were recently in Hungary, and I came up to a guy in a store, and I was just excited to talk to somebody. He was just standing over there. He was a young fellow who worked there, and I just told him. I said, do you have a faith? And they kind of looked at me like I was crazy. He didn't even know what I was talking about. I said, do you have a faith? And he said, no, I don't have any faith. And so I started talking to him. I said, just imagine for a moment whatever you have done, because we've all, let's have an agreement here, we've all done bad things, right? Haven't you done something bad? At first, he said, I'm a pretty good guy. I said, well, have you ever gone out? Have you ever partied? Have you ever said a lie? Okay, then the Bible says you're guilty of all of them. Done one thing. So he says, okay, I'm guilty. So I said to him, imagine for a second that you're in jail for 99 years. and you cannot get out. Okay? Follow with me. 99 years in jail, in isolation as well. Can't get out. And I said, imagine for a moment that one of the guys, security officers, comes into your jail and he says, there's a man outside who says he would like to sit in your spot. And it's been approved by the judge. All you need to do is sign. Acceptance is what that is. And I asked him, I said, would you sign? He said, well, that depends on what I've done, you know. I said, well, you've done some pretty bad things. You've done so many bad things that you've been put in this confinement cell. And but I said, the guy's waiting for you. He's willing to sit. And then once you sign, everything that you've done is removed. And you're free. That's what I told him. I said, you're free to go out. Would you like that? He said, and he kind of just pondered. He's like, that'd be really hard for me to put all of what I've done onto somebody else. That'd be really hard for me. I said, well, you going to choose the confinement cell then? I said, you can choose one or the other, but you will choose. Throughout your life, you will choose. You're either in jail in confinement or you're going to be free. And if you're free, you should testify of God's goodness. Not be free and be quiet. You must testify of God's goodness, of God's freedom, and how His blood has covered you. Don't be quiet. Don't be quiet. Testify and overcome your trials in your life. Testify of your greatest struggles. And I said, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you right here? And I said, he's like, right here. I was like, yeah, can we just pray right here? He's like, well, I don't want to do that right here. He didn't want to accept the Lord right there. But I said, can I just pray for you? You don't have to do anything. I just want to pray for you. I just want to bless you right here. Because I know that there's somebody that loves you. His name is Jesus. He said, how do you know? I said, because I know Him. He loves you. He cares for you intimately, passionately. You know, the only way you're going to know that is if you overcome your troubles, your trials. How do you overcome? By faith, you accept Jesus. And He transfers. This man comes in. I said, the man comes in and sits in your jail. Now, when you come in, I said, aren't you going to want to know about him? Are you going to want to know about this man who took everything and then testify? Testify. Say that with me. Testify. Testify of what was removed in your life. So it was a pretty powerful story. You know, sometimes there's so many trials in our life that we're only focused upon ourselves. So if Jesus comes to us and says, follow me on a mission trip, what we do is we look at all the reasons why not. Right? That's not what the disciples did, though. When Jesus called them, they immediately followed Jesus. Well, they could have had reasons, too, why not to follow Him. So, overcome. Overwhelmingly victorious. You feel that in your life? Are you overwhelmingly victorious? God has overwhelmingly victorious victories for each one of you. So, Pastor, how are we on the time? Five minutes? Okay. So, I want to tell you that no matter what the enemy says, you have victory in Christ. No matter what the enemy wants to do in your life, God has victory. You know, the one thing that talks about in James, it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials. Well, there's a lot of trials that we don't face here in America, but in other places they do. So I just want to lay out real quick. We have three mission trips that we're leading next year that I want to put on the table. For those that may be ministered to, say, you know, I want to serve the Lord in missions. This is an opportunity. I've talked to Pastor. We'll share these with you. We'll be leading a team to Turkey next year to serve the Lord. There's space limited on that trip. We'll be leading a mission trip to Peru and leading a mission trip to Uruguay. And definitely going on a mission trip is out of your comfort zone. Definitely a mission trip will require your faith in action. Okay. Definitely a mission trip. You will have to depend on God. Definitely a mission trip. You will have to testify how you have overcome because of the blood of the Lamb. Amen. It will be His goodness that will use you to testify to somebody else that you've never even seen in your life to bless them. That's what Jesus came for, to bless each one of us. So, you know, I'll just read two verses. Philippians 4:13, which we all know that one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? So anybody can look at it and say, oh, I can't do anything. I'm not able. Yes, you can in Christ. You can. You can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength, right? And I'd also like to read in 2 Timothy, if you have your Bibles, 2 Timothy 1:7. Keep this in mind now. It says, For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So don't be afraid if the Lord puts something in your heart. But I'll tell you, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Amen. Be encouraged today that you have everything that you need in Christ to make a difference for the kingdom of God. Any trial that you're facing, He's given you the strength. He will give you the strength to overcome and to be more than you need, more than conquerors in Christ. That is a sufficient power for anything that He's put in front of you, more than conquerors. Amen? Amen. If you guys are interested in any of these trips, I would encourage you something. Is to take action now. The more someone thinks about something, the more they'll think out of it. That's just how it is. You'll think about it, and then another opportunity will come along that sounds better or easier, because human beings will look for the easiest way out. This is nature. God is speaking to you. Your heart leaps. Oh, I want to go to another nation. I want to work with youth in another nation. I want to serve and help somebody out in another nation. I want to pray for some other people. I want to help another church out in another country. Uruguay, we're going to be helping a church that has no floor, has no bathroom floor, and needs a whole new construction. They're going to be a construction team for Uruguay, working with a lot of kids and youth in Peru. So just be mindful of that. Don't let the opportunity slip you by if God is speaking to your heart.